We're starting a new series on decisions, if you can't tell from behind me here. So I get to launch out the new series. How fun is that? So a few months ago, Brenna and I, we and my family, we got to go on a little weekend vacation to Robber's Cave. Anybody been to Robber's Cave? Probably most of you if you're from Oklahoma. I'm not from Oklahoma, and it took me like 3 years to go out and see Oklahoma. Finally I went, and there is some beautiful, gorgeous country out there. I'm really shocked of like some of the beauty out there. And so we went to Robber's Cave, and there's mountains, there's trees, there's water. I love it. And something you gotta know about me is I love adventure. Okay, so like I can go somewhere without a map. I love that, actually. If I can explore a new territory for myself without a map, I'm so happy. I love it. I love to jog, walk, hike into new territories, and rarely do I ever get lost. Rarely. So I'm in Robber's Cave. If you've ever been there, like They have all mountains and trees, and they have all these trails, and they all kind of zigzag back and forth. It's a great trail place, right? And so I'm out on this trail walk with two of my kids, Nehemiah and Nadia, and we're out adventuring. And in my mind, I'm thinking, we're going to go on this trail, because I actually did look at a map previously, although the map was written in some other language. It was kind of hard to read. And I thought, hey, if I follow this map, if I follow this trail all along, it's going to get me back to the road, and then we can just kind of make our way back. So me and my kids, we're walking along, we're going hiking, taking pictures of all the like interesting bugs on the ground, and saying hi to this weird guy that set up a tent next to a pond area. It was kind of weird. And we go a little bit further, and my kids are like, Dad, like, I'm not sure we're getting to the street. Like, this path, like, there was some right turns and some left turns and some right turns and some left turns, and we actually didn't go any of those in the right way. We kept on going. And after a little while, my kids started to lose a little bit of faith in me. They're like, we're like 2 miles down the trail. And they're like, Dad, we could turn back. And I'm like, where's the adventure in that, kids? But then I'm starting to wonder, it's starting to get dark. Are we going to make it back? So I did what every good dad would do. I pulled out my phone. And I turned on the GPS. And I looked at a map. And I called my wife. And I found out that indeed I did not take the right path. I was far off from where we were planning to be. But the good news, if we follow that path around the bend, like it'll keep going by the canyon and around the mountain and back, we'll end up where we were supposed to be. So everyone's at peace. Everyone's okay. We can do this. We can walk along the canyon and see some more beautiful sights. It was great. How many of us, maybe I'm just speaking of myself in here, how many of us have trouble asking for directions? How many of us have trouble asking for guidance, right? We kind of want to go our own way. Now, we have Google Maps today, which makes things a little bit easier, right? Like it used to be you would look at a map or just try to find your way. And so Google Maps makes things easier. But how about like life questions? Like, some of us don't want to ask anybody what we should do or what kind of choice we should make, get any counsel on like who we should date, who we shouldn't date, should we date at all, should I go to this, should I have this job or that job, or should I go to this school or that school? And there's all these decisions we need to make in life, and so often we just want to kind of do it ourselves. Right? Like, we're going to navigate our own way and hope that we went the right path. And sometimes we end up in places where, like, I've met a lot of Christians who believe in fate, right? Like, fate, okay? And what I mean by that is, like, I've got this question in life, and I'm not sure how to answer that. And so you know what I do? I go to a Chinese restaurant and and I eat the buffet. And at the end of the buffet, you know what I get? I get a fortune cookie. You know, and at the end of fortune cookie, I can think, man, maybe God's got the answer right here that I'm looking for, right? Like, right, this cookie, I'm going to take. So let me see if I can get this thing open here. So I'm really wondering who should I continue dating this person or not? Oh my goodness. Don't miss out on your chance to win big. Oh man. Good thing I'm married to my wife. I'll keep dating her. Should I go to this school? What should I do? Should I go to this school? Oh, those were my lucky numbers. You will look back on this moment and smile. Man, I love these fortune cookies. Maybe I should just keep going back to this. Where'd you go to this? Who got these? I want to know. Come on now. Anybody with me? Anybody do fortune cookies? And I got more. Anybody want a fortune cookie? We got fortune cookies here. I got one more. You know, you got to give them to the youth. So we do that, right? Like, we've got these questions in life, and we're like, God, I don't know what to do. Maybe give me a sign. Tell me what I should do, God. Just give me a sign, please. And we resolve ourselves to fortune cookies. anybody ever taken their Bible, like, and you just kind of flip it open, and you're like, oh, that didn't work. Let me try that again. Oh, well, that kind of fits. Anybody ever do that? Okay, let me tell you something. The Bible is full of wisdom, okay? And if you are looking for wisdom, okay, where in the Bible do you think you should turn? I heard it, Proverbs. Proverbs. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. So if you want to know what to do in life, maybe we should look at the book of wisdom, Proverbs. Particularly, let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 together. So, it says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. He will make your paths straight. Heavenly Father, God, we just pray, Lord, for this moment, for this time, this time of hearing your word. Lord, I pray for everyone in here, God, to hear your word today. God, I believe that you have a message for everyone in here, that no matter what they're going through in life, God, your word is powerful, it's active, and it will sharpen us, it will make us better. God, it will grow us in faith. So God, I pray, open our ears to hear and our eyes to see that you, God, to see you working in our life, and that indeed you are working to make our paths straight. God, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So the major thing to do the major thing to do when trying to make decisions in life, the very first thing we should do is trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. What is trust? Trust is putting your confidence in someone or something. Trust. Putting your confidence in someone or something. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I put my trust in things that kind of let me down. Like, anybody got a weather app on their phone? The weatherman is like the only guy who can continually lie to me. Like, seriously, rain is not coming in Oklahoma. It's just not coming. Quit telling me it's coming. It's not coming. You know, or how about you've got your Amazon app, right? And you think that that package is going to be delivered today, only for it to be delayed for another 3 days. Oh, I love this one. Like you go to wash your hands, right? And you try to get some soap out of the soap dispenser. Like, it's empty. You tricked me. I've been duped. Like, I thought I was going to get some soap out of this. You know, what happens when we put our trust in things and they let us down? Do we get frustrated? Do we get confused? Do we get a little upset? You see, life is built on trust, right? Good relationships are built on trust. God wired us to trust. That's how we're wired. We're wired to trust. The question is, what are we putting our trust in? Right? Like, are we putting our trust in things? Are we putting our trust in science? Are we putting our trust in ourselves? What are we putting our trust in? And the truth is, people and things. I love my Toyota Camry. I love it. Eventually, it's going to let me down. I mean, I'm serious, right? It will only go so far. It will only go so fast. I love it. But people are going to let you down too, right? Like people, I'm not saying that people have bad intentions. People have good intentions. Oftentimes, especially the people you really trust have good intentions, but eventually they're going to let you down. Why? Because they're limited. They didn't mean to, but they're limited. People and things will always let you down. So where should we turn for answers? We turn to God. That's who we are to trust. God, right? We were actually built for this trust. Trust in the Lord. So the Lord, in your proverb today, trust in the Lord, you'll see in the Bible, it's written in all caps. L-O-R-D, all capital letters. And whenever you see Lord in all capital letters, that's talking about Yahweh. Okay? Just kind of a background there, that when Lord is mentioned in the Bible, capital L-O-R-D, it is talking about Yahweh. So God is specifically saying, put your trust in Yahweh, not something else, not like just not even to confuse you, even just a little bit. Let me tell you who you are to put your trust in, Yahweh. Yahweh is the one who you guys know Yahweh. Yahweh was introduced to Moses, you know, at the burning bush, and he said, "Who should I send me? I am who I am is sending you, Yahweh." Okay, Yahweh was first mentioned in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 4. I love this. It is Yahweh God. Like, make no mistake, there's no other God that we're talking about. We're talking about Yahweh God. Yahweh God is the one who created Adam and Eve. It was Yahweh. And when he was in the, when God made them, created them from the ground, he breathed his life into them. And guess what he did? He spent time with them. He nurtured them. They knew him. They would walk in the cool of the evening together. It makes me think of my walks with my wife and my kids in the evening, right? Like that's a time of relationship building. That's a time of growing in knowledge of each other. And so God, like, they had no reason to doubt God at all. He built relationship with them. They could put their confidence in him, right? He gave them all the fruit salad they could possibly eat. On a hot day, I try to think, what would watermelon taste in the Garden of Eden? Oh, I love watermelon in summer. But then the enemy comes and he steers their direction away from God, right? Eve takes a look at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what does she do? She begins to think, that's desirable. I want that. It's pleasing to look at. It's beautiful. Not only that, it will make me wise like God. And so she took of the apple. This is an fruit. This is an age-old story, right? But this is our story. This is the story that we are brought up in. Like, the whole world, all of us are in the river, that the path that was paved from the beginning with Adam and Eve when they first made that wrong decision. Do you see what I'm saying? And so what is God doing? He's pulling us back so that we trust in him. With what do we trust in him with? We trust in Yahweh with what? With all of our heart. We trust in Yahweh with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. That's the first step. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your understanding. Trust the Lord with your heart. Trust the Lord with your mind. Do you think God is selfish because he wants all of your heart? No. No, he wants all of your heart because he knows what's good for you. He designed you. He created you. And he knows that when you give your heart away to different things, bad things happen. Right? Like, everything that is worthy of your heart's attention belongs to God. All the affirmations that your heart needs belongs to God. But when you let your heart steer you, this is the worst type of wisdom you can get in this world, is follow your heart, right? Because Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's deceitful, guys, right? If you follow your heart, you're destined for destruction. Because it's deceitful above some things, above a few things. It is deceitful above all things. That's your heart. And so God says, don't follow your heart. Give him all of your heart. Trust the Lord. Trust Yahweh, the one who created you. Trust him with all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. He wants us to trust him with both our hearts and our minds. But you know what? Our minds can do great things, right? Like, we've come a long way with ingenuity. We're definitely, you know, where we were at centuries ago doesn't even compare with where we are today, right? Like, Pastor John went on a cruise. That's where he is right now. Praise Jesus. I'm so happy for him, really, I gotta tell you. If you can't tell. But in 1914, that's when man made the Titanic. The Titanic, the unsinkable ship. Did you know, we have cruise lines now, and from 1914 to today, the largest cruise ship that we have is 5 times larger than the Titanic. 5 times. wow, look at what man can do, right? In 1904, that's when we built the first airplane. Or 1903, excuse me. And it would cruise a fast 7 miles per hour along the ground before it lifted up. And it would go, the farthest distance it went was 852 feet. Okay, we've got planes today, like there was an unmanned airplane that went 6,363 miles per hour. If that's a lie, I'm blaming it on ChatGPT, okay? But 6,363 miles per hour. And we've got a plane that went almost 25,000 miles without refueling. Look at what our minds can do, right? Wow, the ingenuity, the creativity. Like, I gotta tell you, like, things have gotten pretty cool. I got this screen that's like, I can thumb through this thing. Now, let me ask you, does that make life any easier? Does it make it any better? Well, I mean, honestly, in some regards, maybe. Like, because I like the cooling of my house. I'm very thankful for my AC unit. I'm thankful for cars and transportation. But I still worry. I still fret. I still have medical problems. I still don't know how to make good decisions in life. And in fact, although things like computers and cars and things like that are supposed to make things like easier and more efficient, what ends up happening, like it used to be like, hey, we'll make things easier. Like, you know, the steering wheel, people probably don't even remember, like the steering wheel didn't used to be so easy to turn. Now it's easy to turn. You're like, life just got easy. Now you just drive more, right? That's the point. Like, you think you're gonna have more time to do other things because life got easier. No, it didn't. What you did is now you can do more with the time that you have. And so you get busier and busier and busier. And life gets harder and harder and harder. We have lights, so we stay up later. You know, like there's just so many things that we do today that we didn't used to do now, all because of our great ingenuity. You know, many people, with all the stuff going on, like I said, we're in this like river where, you know, the first decision of Adam and Eve and all the decisions that come later from all the humans over all time, we've all been kind of swept into this narrative, this river, this influence, and honestly, people get lost in it. They get lost in their phones. They get lost on their screen. They get lost in their job. They get lost in their schoolwork. They get lost. People get lost. And maybe you feel lost. Maybe you're even at a point right now where you don't even know how you got where you are right now. You followed one thing, and then you followed another, and then you followed another, and here you are. And life didn't get much better. Could it be that the choices I make come from my own understanding rather than trusting God with my heart and my mind? God says to trust the Lord with all of your heart. Not just some of it, not just with a piece of it, but with all of it. And you say, Pastor Sean, how do I give God my heart when I can't see him? I can't touch him. I can't feel him. I can't hear him. How do I follow God like that? How do I put my trust in someone like that? Can I let you in on a little secret? It's called faith. Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. trust. God tells us not to lean on our own understanding. That means trust God with all of your mind. You got this table right here. What do you think will happen if I start leaning on it? I might fall forward, yes. What happens if I lean with all my weight on it? So, somebody's going to freak out, right? Like, what, Pastor Sean, is there an EMT in the house? Like, did he get a concussion? Is he bleeding? It's going to lead to destruction, right? That's where it goes. If I lean on something like this table, I'm going to crash. I'm going to burn, right? And let me tell you something. That's exactly where the devil wants you. Because that was the very first trick he ever did. He deceived Eve and Adam into thinking they should lean on their own understanding. That when they, when we try to figure it out for ourselves, navigate our own path, we are literally taking a bite of that fruit again. And you know where that fruit leads? To destruction. God said that if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. That's what he said. But when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and with our mind, then, guys, get this, then we will eat of the tree of life. Oh, come on, guys. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your mind. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. You know, this proverb is actually truly about intimacy with God. You know that, right? This is about knowing God. Who says that God doesn't want to be close to us in the Old Testament? I'm sorry, I just don't read that. No, God wants to be close to us. God isn't far off. Let's just think about this for a second. The all-powerful, invincible, all-knowing, awesome God that he is wants to be involved in every part of our life. Every part. He wants us to acknowledge him all of the time. This is a God who wants to be near to you, okay? When I want to spend time with my son or my daughter, I have to carve out time. I have to not be preoccupied with something else. And I've got to carve out time, and hopefully they can carve out some time for me too. And we're going to spend some time together. But let me tell you, God isn't like that. God will be with you all of the time. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You have a opportunity to be with him in every piece of your life. That's how close God is. Yeah, that is our God. This all-knowing, all-powerful, awesome, majestic, powerful God loves me intimately. That word acknowledge is the Hebrew word yada, and it means to know something. So it basically, literally is saying, know God in all your ways. Okay, there's a couple ways to understand the word know. If I ask a young kid, hey, what is, anybody know what 2 + 2 is? And they'll be, I know. You know, it's 4, because they know it, right? They know it cognitively. They understand it. When God said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? He says, I don't know. He was lying. He said, I don't know. He didn't know. He acted like he didn't know. But there's another way to understand know. Like, my daughter Natalie, she probably doesn't like me calling her out right now, and Nadia, they both had the piano recital yesterday. They both played beautifully. It was I loved it, man. My heart was melting. Good daddy. My heart was melting. If somebody asked me if I know how to know music, if I know the piano, you know what I'm going to tell them? No. Like, I know about the piano. It's got, like, white keys and black keys, and it looks like, you know, that. But I don't know how to play it. Like, I haven't spent time with it. I don't know how it works. I would make a noise, a very terrible one. Right? Or somebody asks you for a reference. Hey, can you give John a reference? And you're like, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm probably not a good guy to give John a reference. I know he's got brown hair, blue eyes, great smile, you know, dressed sharp. But other than that, I don't know the guy. I can't give you a reference. God is talking about knowing us personally. That he wants to know you. That you can know him in every area, at every time of your life. Oh man, okay. I'm not even done yet. I'm serious. This is good stuff. And not talking about the person John, I'm talking about the Gospel of John. Do you guys know what eternal life is in the Gospel of John? I'm about to tell you what eternal life is. In John chapter 17, 3, it says this, and this is eternal life, that they know you. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Do you guys... God wants us to know him. He wants us to spend time with him. He wants us to acknowledge him in all of our ways. When we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, when we trust in the Lord with all of our minds, listen, hey, God isn't, like, if I trust in my mind, I'm doing something my mind isn't meant to do. If I trust in my mind, this thing's going to fall over because my mind isn't supposed to lead me down the paths I'm supposed to go. God is supposed to be the one doing that, right? Yeah. If I trust my heart's going to take me somewhere I'm not supposed to go because I've trusted in something I'm not supposed to put my trust in. I'm supposed to put my trust in the Lord. That when we trust in the Lord with our heart and we trust in the Lord with our mind and we acknowledge him, we know him in all of our ways, then, then he will make our paths straight. Notice how in our proverb today, it says, God will make our path straight. And we got to give God some credit here. We got to give God some credit because, listen, my job is to trust the Lord. His job, everyone say his job. His job is to make my path straight. My job is to trust in the Lord. His job is to make my path straight. My job is to follow. His job is to lead. And that, you know what? That means I have to relinquish some of my control, or all of it. I've got to relinquish all of my control and not try to pave my own path. Because if I'm truly going to follow the leader is going to tell me where I need to go. And wherever I need to go, that's the path that is straight for me. That's the path I'm supposed to be going on. because he's the one taking Mary, and he's the one who does the straight path. But if I go my own way, like that, God said that he would make our path straight, but he didn't say that he would make our path easy. Sometimes God will take you directions where if he told you you were going there, you would never go yourself. You'd never go that direction. But because you were trusting in the Lord, you went. And I got to tell you, though, I'm sure glad he did, because the direction that he took me was the straight path for me. Even though I went through the trial, even though I went through the suffering, even though God had to prune me, I went through the straight path. Why? Because I was following him. Sometimes God's going to take you places where you don't want to go. But you're trusting him anyway. This is what happened to me when I moved overseas. Me and my family, we became global workers overseas, and we were excited. I mean, we got to meet new people, be in a new place. Like, I'm an adventurous, right? I love this. I was like, oh, new place, new people, new people who don't look like me, talk like me, act like me, think like me. This is all great. I mean, I'm on a honeymoon. I loved it. It was great for about 6 months. And then God started doing some work, right? Like, I had spent 8.5 years in like Bible and ministerial training, 4.5 years in Bible college, 4 years in seminary, and then I did 4 years pastoring. And God, I was training to be a pastor, right? Like that's what God was doing in me. And I had trained really hard for it. And while I was pastoring, I honed my preaching skills, my teaching skills, leading, you know, counseling, all the things that pastors do. That's what I was doing, right? That's what I trained myself for. But when I went overseas, none of that even mattered anymore. Like, God really had to strip all of that away. And what happened is, like, I mean, I'm even thinking about culture shock for a minute. Culture shock took a while for this to settle in too, but it usually happens when you're kind of stressed out. I was standing in line at a small grocery store, and my son Nehemiah was with me, and my hands were full of groceries, and Nehemiah's hands were full of groceries, and we'd been standing in line for like 10, 15 minutes, and it was my turn to come up to the desk. Right? And so, like, I'm like right there. And then this lady comes right in front of me, plops all her stuff down on the table. And this guy just starts zip, zip, zip. And I'm like, what? And I look back, the line's like really big that way. And I'm like looking back, and no one even cares. I'm like, what? like, our line's not a thing here? Like, I can just kind of cut right in. And actually, they're not. Like, you can literally just cut right in this country. Lines are a thing here. You know, you don't realize how much you get lined up until there are no more lines. But that's just part of it. Culture shock was just part of it. God, what God did is he stripped away things. Like, I had put my identity, who I was, into preaching, into teaching, into leading, counseling, all those things. And God, I couldn't even speak the language. Like, I'm a 37-year-old man talking like a baby. How humiliating, right? And he stripped that all away to where I had nothing to lean on. And he got right into my soul, the deepest parts of my soul. And he said, Sean, I want you to know I love you for who you are, not because of what you can do for me. I don't love you because you can preach. I don't love you because you can teach. I don't love you because you can do all these things. I love you for who you are. You are my son. And I got to tell you, this was an inner struggle for me because I find value. My wife likes me because I can do things for her. My boss likes me because I can do things for him. My father liked me because I could excel at this and this and this. And my God must like me because I do this, this, and this. I said, no. I love you for who you are. That was my straight path. You say, Sean, how did you get to Oklahoma? I was living in North Dakota, then I went on the other side of the world, and now I'm in Oklahoma. Isn't that a zigzag? No, that was a straight path. It's exactly where God wanted to take me. Proverbs 19:21 says this, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Our job is to trust the Lord. His job is to make our path straight. Our job is to follow the Lord. His job is to lead us where we're intended to go. Say, I don't know how to make decisions. That's how you do it. I don't know where all of you are at today, where you're at in your destination, where you've come on your map of life. And maybe you don't feel like you have a GPS signal and you need God's direction. In just a moment, if I can just have everyone stand up, please. We're going to do something today. We're going to give you an opportunity to respond. If I could have the prayer people come up, please. I know, sorry guys, it's a little bit later. Let's just forget the clock for a moment. If you feel like God is distant in your life, unknowable, maybe you have never truly had a relationship with your Heavenly Father, I want to give you a chance to eternal life today. I want to give you a chance to come and be known by God and to know Him as your personal Savior. Maybe you're saying to yourself, honestly, I don't know how I got where I'm at today. I'm here today. But man, I really need God in my life. And I haven't heard Him. I haven't seen Him. I haven't felt Him. But I need Him. I need to know Him. I want to invite you in just a minute to just come forward. We've got people in here that would lead you into a prayer of salvation so that you can start to know God intimately in your life. And the second thing I want to do is perhaps you've been trusting the Lord and you're going through a hard time in your life and you're maybe, you know, you don't know how you're going to pay the bills. Maybe your marriage is not doing so well. Maybe you're dealing with like relationship things in your life, and you just don't know, Matt, how to make heads or tails of things, and you just need some guidance and you need some direction. Maybe the thermometer of faith in your life is just low. It's running on E, and you need somebody to come and speak some words into you, words of life and words of encouragement. Then I want to encourage you today. Come down and receive some prayer. Because that's what the body does. We encourage one another. We strengthen one another. We build each other up in this walk. And so as we sing, just as you feel led, come on down and receive all that God has for you. We're going to continue to leave these altars open. So don't feel like you have to leave. You can stay and you can worship and you can pray for people, or you can still come forward and receive prayer as the Lord gives you, you know, as the Lord talks to you about it. You can still come forward and receive prayer. Don't feel like you have to rush out. But let me leave you with this challenge that, you know, life is full of all these decisions. And let me tell you, our heart and our emotions will lead us a certain way. Our mind will lead us a certain way. But these are both two tools that are meant to be served to God, right? Like our trust is meant to be with the Lord alone. Our hearts to the Lord, our minds to the Lord. And that in all our ways, we can know our God. And when we do that, then He makes our paths straight, right? The whole thing is about us coming back into alignment with the Heavenly Father, like in the Garden of Eden. When you trust in the Lord, you get to eat of the tree of life. How many of you want life in here? Let's eat that tree, guys. Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you for this proverb. Thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for opening up our ears to hear and our eyes to see, our hearts to understand. God, we pray that you would go with each of us as we go from here. God, let us be your living representatives in this land, in this place, God. Help us to share your love and your word with our neighbor, our friend, our coworkers, God, with all the people that we meet. May we be your living representatives on this earth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Lord bless you guys.